Series. Next week, everyone will be back in here. Terry Randolph will be doing Sunday school. And so everyone will be back in here. And then in 2 weeks from now, very excited, we're going to be starting a new series in Sunday school that is not like anything we've ever taught at Berean that I can tell in a Sunday school time. It is going to be a few weeks dedicated to learning how to study our Bible with the Bible. And it's not going to be textbooks on how to study the Bible. We're going to use the Word of God, which tells us in many places how we should handle the Word of God just as lay people. And so we're going to look at that on how we should apply context and just everything to do with how, what should we be doing? What does it look like? How do we do it? How do we get the most out of Bible reading and Bible study and meditation on it? And it's going to be very, very helpful. I'm very excited. And the part I like the most is that we use the Bible to learn how to study the Bible. It's such a good book that it tells us how it wants to be studied. That's how good our Lord is. And so that's what's going to be happening in 2 weeks from now. Just want to plug that's where we're headed. But today we're going to wrap up Baptist distinctives, and we're going to look at the fact that the Bible says there are only two offices in a church, and every Baptist church should only have two offices, and that would be the office of a pastor and the office of a deacon. And this is clearly, go to Philippians chapter 1, this is clearly mentioned in Philippians chapter 1, just right out of the gate. We can just go there just to see it. But Baptist churches, we're very distinguished, if you will, from many other Christian denominations and organizations because of the hierarchy of religious positions and ranks that they hold. But in Philippians chapter 1, if you look at verse number 1, it makes it very clear. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Mentions both offices right there, no more, no less. But what we want to do this morning is really understand what that means to be a bishop and what that means to be a deacon. And let me just tell you this, church leadership is the key ingredient to order. If you don't have church leadership correct, then you don't have order correct in your church. And God is a God of order. And so he clearly defines in his word the positions of a church. And you can go around and talk to people and see other churches, and you will see where they've taken words like elder and they've taken words like bishop and they've said, oh, those must be different positions. Well, we're going to use the word of God today and say, no, you're just trying to find an assignment for someone to feel special. That's not what the word of God says. That is the same person. And I want you to think about it. I mean, men, you can easily think about this, and so can the ladies. When we start talking about this, I'm a husband, a father, an employee, a neighbor, a Sunday school teacher. So guess what I wear? Many hats. But there's only one of me. But all those things describe me. So just keep that idea in mind as we talk about pastor and bishop and elder. Those are, you know, I don't want to sound irreverent, but those are different hats. Those are different descriptions of the one position. And so that's what we'll look at in the Bible today. And let me just tell you this. We'll start with pastor, then we'll go with deacon. And titles are important. I will say that. And our pastor is not a priest. He is not a pope. He's not a father. He's not a vicar. He's not a reverend. In fact, on Wednesday night, he said, if you were listening, that he prefers to be called preacher. And as a name of respect, that's probably what you should do. But the word pastor means shepherd. And a Baptist church is sometimes referred to, and I say a Baptist church because that's the kind of church that the New Testament talks about, but a Baptist church is sometimes, like in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it talks about the Lord's flock. And so if the Lord has a flock when he's referring to his church, well, the shepherd of that flock would be a pastor. That's why the pastor is a title given to the man that leads this church. So go to the book of Acts chapter 20 and let's take some time to read. We're going to do a lot of Bible today. And we're going to see that pastors are the shepherds of the flocks of Christ. Definitely keep something in Acts. We're going to refer to Acts and 1 Peter quite often. In Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 28, and you will see. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So here, if we understand what's happened here, is Paul, and this was referred to also on Wednesday night, but Paul has assembled the elders in Ephesus to come together. So as he's going by, he can meet with them one last time. So he's addressing them. He's addressing elders, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But he says that you are to feed the church of God. So that's what a pastor does. Keep something in Acts. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 5, because I want you to get this idea of one of the designations of what a pastor is supposed to do. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, and keep something in 1 Peter as well. Look at verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." So there we see a pastor, and the Bible, again, uses in a harmonious way, uses the word pastor, elder, and bishop. It's very harmonious how it does that. And so what we need to understand is these are not three specific offices. These are not that. These are they are also not three ranks within an office. That's not what that means either. They're not different ranks inside an office. That's not what they are. They are different aspects and functions of the same office. Amen. And so we have to wrap our head around that. The word pastor, again, means shepherd, and that relates to the duty of the office. And the word elder, that refers to the dignity of it. The word elder has a lot of respect to it, and that there's a lot of dignity in being a feeder of the flock. And so that's what elder does. And when we see the word bishop, that speaks of the design or the function of the office. And so there are all three aspects of the same office. And so let's try to look at the Word of God, because what I want to do is I want to give you some verses that prove what I call the interchangeability of these words. And what you'll find is there are several times throughout the Word of God where these words are interchanged. They are not. And you can see if you want to see, you can see where the confusion would be. You can see that if you allow yourself that a man who is seeking a position would say, no, these are different. But we can use the Word of God, and we can see just many hats that one man wears. So in 1 Peter, go to chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to see the interchangeability of pastors, elders, and bishops. Look at verse 25. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." There, we're not talking about two different people. We're talking about the interchangeability of that word. Go to chapter 5 of 1 Peter again. Now look at verse number 1. In verse number 1 of chapter 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." So again, we talk about elders here. We talk about feeding the flock, which would be a pastor. So we have to understand these words are interchangeable. Now the elder here, they were instructed to perform the duties of the shepherd and the function of the bishop. Have you noticed that? Peter has already mentioned bishops, he's mentioned elders, and he's mentioned flock feeders, which are pastors. So he's said all three of them, but he's only talking about the one person. So we have to keep that in mind. Keep something in 1 Peter. Go back to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. Now we just read Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where they talked about feeding the flock, which would be a role of a pastor. But look at verse 17. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." So they don't have different groups of people that came. These words are interchangeable. So we have to keep that in mind, that he's saying, listen, you're the elder, which means you're the overseer. You're also a flock feeder. Be careful saying that. You're also a pastored. You're a shepherd, but you're also an elder. And then we use the word bishop. Go to Titus. We could see in our example on Wednesday night, the book of Titus, just trying to show that these are interchangeable throughout the Word of God, that they're interchangeable. We have to be sure. I mean, don't you want to be sure that we're not missing something? Listen, if we were missing something, I would be the loudest voice. I want to make sure that, like, hold on, we're doing something wrong. There's a position here called, bishop that we need to have. Their position here, well, because I've got a third cousin that's an elder at a church, but they don't stand up on Sundays and preach. Are we missing something? I want to make sure. And the answer is no, we're not missing anything. And we need to know that. We need to know with confidence that we're not missing anything. And Wednesday night in Titus chapter 1, this is what we read in verse number 5. We're going to go down to verse number 7. It says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." And then look at verse number 7. "For a bishop," no one said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are we talking about elders or are we talking about bishop? Because that's two different things." No one said that. He's using these words interchangeable. So it says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." So we have to understand these words are interchangeable. And Baptists today generally refer to the title of pastor. That's what we say. That culturally and historically, and because of the role of feeding the flock, and Baptists want to be preached to, we say as a title, pastor. Now, again, on Wednesday night, he said as a name, he prefers preacher. Perfect. That is scriptural. If you want to say elder, it's also scriptural. If you want to say bishop, good luck. But those are all scriptural. They are all appropriate, but if you do respect the office.
I do have one person that called me Bishop
Abel. He'd get away with it. Pray for, no. He's like, Leah plays the piano. What are they going to do? Kick me out? It is. It's scriptural and it is appropriate. It is appropriate in some context for leaders of Baptist churches to be referred to that. So just keep that all in mind. And again, we understand the word bishop in particular, and sometimes the word elder has been widely misused. We've seen that just read obituaries. You're like, man, this person had some titles when they died. And that's where you get information about people without gossip because they're dead. And but you find out, you talk to people and you find out that they were an elder or they were a bishop. And you're just like, I see where the confusion is, but I know that it's interchangeable. It's widely misused. So we want to make sure that that is concrete and that that is settled, that there is no confusion here. Because again, if we're missing something, we need to stand up and say, listen, if we're Bible believers, but and that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the priesthood of the believer. You can go study this yourself. We can come back and say, no, we're not missing anything. Those words are interchangeable, and I'm happy about that. Now, let's talk about the purpose. So the pastor is God's caretaker or overseer of his flock, and we've looked at that. We read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, but also go to 1 Peter and look again at verse number 4 of chapter 5. We understand that the pastor is the overseer of this flock. Our pastor is, but in verse number 4, it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, the word ye, it's ye, not he. Ye are not the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And when he shall appear, ye, talking about who's performing acts in verse number 1, 2, and 3, are the ones receiving the crown of glory that fadeth not away. So we understand that what we call our pastor, if we're going to say he's a shepherd, he would be the under-shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And so we understand. So what is his purpose? The pastor as an under shepherd, he is given to the churches as a gift to bring us into spiritual maturity. That is his role. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter number 4 and let's take one look at that. Ephesians chapter number 4, because we have to understand his role. He is a helper in our faith. I tell you that. He is a gift to our church. That's what a pastor is. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors. So there's that word pastors and teachers. And now look at verse number 12. This tells us what his role is for the perfecting, and that means maturing, for the protecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So perfecting of the saints, that means making us complete. It is his job to preach the word to us. It is our job to listen to the word and apply the word, allow the word to work in our lives that he preaches, and that would be the perfecting of the saints. And then it says the work of the ministry, and that is, you know what his job is? His job is to prepare us for ministry work. You know how he says, Tim, Dawson, and Preacher aren't the only ones that are supposed to be door knocking and visiting and doing work of the ministry. His job is to prepare us for the ministry. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Come to church and apply the first one, which is perfecting of the saints. So learn, be complete, be mature, and then you will be more prepared to do the ministry, which is witnessing to people, sharing the gospel, and work of the ministry. And then the last one, the edifying of the body of Christ. That means he's spiritually building us up. And I hope you can see that you should, now obviously the growth in your life in the past year, you should credit the work of the Spirit of God in your life, okay? But you should also say, man, our pastor is a gift in supporting that work, in supporting that work. And if you are spiritually more builded up this year than you were last year at this time, again, he's done his job. Yep. And you've allowed it, because you can sit there and not allow it. Yes, absolutely. We have a responsibility. The pastor has a responsibility. We're not talking about our responsibility today. We're talking about his responsibility. But God calls men into the ministry, and the church itself ordains the men, and then the Holy Spirit of God sets the men into the position. And we see that in the book of Acts. You should be able to see that in your own life, that's what happens. So let's talk about the qualifications of a pastor. Now, if you take 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verses 1 through 7, and you take, and you can write those down first, because I'm not going to read them. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Those are the three main bodies of Scripture that talk about the qualifications of a pastor. And here's what they tell us. There are 22 qualifications for a pastor. And I don't mind having a checklist. So here we go. He must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, a man of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. He must not be given to wine, not a striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, patient, not a brawler, not covetous. He must rule his own house well, not be a novice, have a good report, not be self-willed. He must be a lover of good men. He must be just, holy, temperate, and sound in doctrine. Those 22 things are what the Word of God says, and that is a list that I would say, oh my. That is a very thorough list when describing the responsibilities of a man. It would be a task to find a man like that. It would be something that you would want to handle with care and with prayer. Because those 22 things are not, I mean, just think about your own life in that list. But that is an amazing list. But that's what the Word of God says. So now let's talk about his duties. And then we'll move on to deacons. So first of all, he's supposed to lead. I think we understand that. The exercise of an elder is to lead, and this is to rule with authority. But we've looked in 1 Peter, it's not to be a lord over God's heritage. I love how he refers to that. It refers to us as that. But he is to be a leader. The God-given authority to rule is very clear. It is called pastoral authority. And let me just tell you this. If you're visiting or you've been to other churches, let me just say this. Churches that are wrong and they mishandle, they misidentify, and they misuse pastoral authority are a mess. I mean, out of all the doctrines, I personally believe if you get that right, your music program, your giving, your teaching, your Word of God, your standards, everything else seems to fall better in line. So we have to understand authority to a pastor is God-given in the Word of God. And you can go to 1 Timothy, again, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 to talk about that. That it is inherent in a pastor's qualification to lead. Now, that means two things. He's got to be capable, and he's got to be allowed. And you know churches that have trustees or they're deacon-led and the pastor's afraid to do anything. That is not scriptural. That is not found in the Word of God. Two offices, pastor and deacon. We'll talk about the role of the deacon, but the pastor is to lead. He needs to be able to lead and he needs to be allowed to lead if you want to be scriptural. And what's funny is, here's the funny thing, talking about the many hats. You know, leadership is one of, because it's elder. No one has a problem when I say I wear many hats. Dad, neighbor, teacher, no one has a problem with that. But if you say one of the pastor has many hats, he's supposed to feed you, he's supposed to lead you. Well, now, hold on now, I'm not going to be. No. He's got many hats just like you. The Bible defines them. It's our job to follow them. As simple as that. So it's funny though, because I know people that are quick to say, well, those hats don't apply to him. I can wear many hats, but he can't wear that hat. No, he needs to be the leader of this church. The authority is delegated. It is not absolute authority. I want you to understand that. A pastor is to rule by example and not by commandment, not by arbitrary order. You can go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and read verse number 3. You need to understand that a pastor, though, is responsible for matters such as giving clear direction to the church's internal affairs. That is his job. You have to have someone doing that. You have to have someone doing that. But he's also responsible for giving clear direction to the church's external activities. That's his job. So if it's internally impacting our church or if it's externally impacting our church, he is the leader, the ultimate one responsible for it. That's his job as to lead. Now, let's talk about to feed. Now, to feed, lead would be the exercise of the elder. To feed would be the exercise of the shepherd or the pastor. The pastor is commanded to teach and to feed. He's commanded to do that. Can you imagine? You've seen churches where the pastor does everything but preach. I mean, he might motivate, he might do this and do that and cheerlead. His job, just as important as it is to lead, his job is to feed. His job is to feed. And that's why we hear from this pulpit all the time. And it is mind-blowing that people would come up and say, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm not being fed. Wrong. If anything, you're obese if you would just apply everything you heard. Imagine applying everything we heard from this pulpit. You would be spiritually obese. But you're not. You're not. You gorge yourself after every service with flesh. It's terrible. But his job is to feed. And the expectation of a preacher and a pastor to teach and to preach. Listen, here's some things that the Bible says, and I can give you verses for all these. We're not going to look at them. But he needs to give himself to the ministry of the word. He must do that. He must give himself to the ministry of the word. He must feed the church, hold fast the faithful words, preach the word. And these are all from Scripture. He must labor in the word of God, study the word of God, speak the word of God, live the word of God. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, apply the word of God himself in order to feed the flock. That's his job. But not only that, not only is he to lead, not only is he to feed, but he is to heed, H-E-E-D, and that is the exercise of a bishop. He needs to take heed of himself. He needs to take heed of the whole church. He needs to watch for religious wolves in our church. He needs to watch for the souls of all of us. That is his job, and he needs to pray for, and he needs to visit the sick. That is his job. He needs to lead, he needs to feed, and he needs to heed. And that are the responsibilities of a pastor. Now let's talk about a church's responsibility to our pastor really quickly. Number one, and I can give you lots of scriptures to these. For the sake of time, we won't do that. You can come see me. But we need to submit to his leadership. We need to. We need to submit to his leadership and obey his God-given authority. We also need to pray for him. There are evildoers everywhere, and we need to pray for him. We need to provide for his needs. We need to provide for his needs. That is our responsibility to do that, and we need to honor and respect him. Those four things, you want to audit yourself. What kind of church member am I? Those four things, and it's 22 qualifications for him. I'm giving us four because that's what the Bible gives us. It's not like I'm giving it. The Bible gives us four that we need to do for him, but we need to make sure we are absolutely superb on all four of those things. So again, submit, pray, provide, and honor. Let's move on. The second and only other office of a church is a deacon. Go to the book of Acts chapter 6. The word deacon is found five times in the Bible. We're going to look at one of them. It is the Greek word, which means a servant, a waiter, an attendant. I think just by the definition alone, you should understand the role of a deacon. I've never had a waiter say, hold on, let me tell you how to do things. The waiter says, what can I get you? What can I get you? If you have a waiter that says, let me tell you, I'm like, I'd rather go home if I'm going to be told what to do. So keep in mind, a waiter and a deacon, those words in the Greek, interchangeable. But it conveys the idea of, listen, this is beautiful. When you would study this out, what a deacon was, the word waiter, servant, it means, listen, it's so beautiful. It means to raise dust by hastening. That's what a servant does, to raise dust by hastening. I'm telling you what, as a church member, and I read that, not even as a deacon, because we should all be servants, and I'm not a deacon, but I'm like, as a servant, I'm like, oh, I'm a servant. That's one of my hats. Didn't mention that. Should have probably mentioned it first, right? Am I kicking up dust? Or is dust just kind of settled? Am I kicking up dust? Because I want to be the kind of servant that raises dust from my hasting. And I don't mean busybody work. I mean just doing things for the Lord work. So ask yourself that. I think that's really good. What kind of dust are you kicking up? Is it settled? Is it kicking up? But that means you're being busy in service. So Acts chapter 6, look at verse number 2. It says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, from we may appoint over this business. So that, again, is the process that we see this early church in electing deacons. And you would see then they choose out these men who would then become servants to help them. And a deacon is not a ruler at all. A deacon is a servant. And any deacon or board of deacons that runs a church, regulating the pastor's role to preaching and visiting, that's what they do. There's some churches where the deacons, they regulate, all you do is visit and preach. That is unscriptural based on everything else we saw that the pastor is supposed to do. That is not the job of a deacon. Now, there are 22 qualifications for a pastor. Let me tell you this, in the Word of God, there are 12 qualifications for a deacon. And listen to these 12. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And then chapter 6 right here, verse number 3. So he must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. He must hold the faith in pure conscience, be a proven man, blameless, the husband of one wife, rule his family and household well. He must have an honest report, be spirit-filled, and be filled with wisdom. Now the Bible then goes a step further and says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, and another verse that I didn't write down, that the wife of a deacon has qualifications, and she has four qualifications for the wife of a deacon. When you're picking the male deacon, if he's married, these things have to apply to his wife. She must be grave, not a slanderer, sober, and she must be faithful in all things. Now, in our text right here in chapter 6, the first seven verses, talks about the whole election of a deacon. And deacons are elected when necessary. Let me tell you this. It's better to have no deacons than the wrong deacons. Okay? You need to understand that if you're ever not at Berean Baptist Church and you're like, I don't know what's going on in this church, or you're visiting on vacation, you're like, this church doesn't have deacons. Well, listen. It's better to have no deacons than the wrong deacons, because they are servants and they are not to take over anything from their pastor. So keep that in mind. But they are elected when necessary and when called on by the pastor, because sometimes there might be health issues or whatever. But the number of deacons and the terms or the years that a deacon serves is unique to each church. All that is unique to the individual church. And deacons are to be elected with consideration of those 12 qualifications. Deacons are to be elected from within the church membership. So they have to be members of that church along with those 12 qualifications. And deacons are to be under the direction of the pastor. They are not. A deacon board is not to rule over the pastor. You have to keep that in mind. Stay in your biblically assigned lane. Our deacons at Berean Baptist Church, we choose four. If you're new here, let me just tell you this. The four each serve 4 years, and they serve those years in a staggered format. So every year, one man leaves and another man comes on. So we have a four-year guy right now, a three-year guy, a two-year guy, and a guy that's in his first year. And so they continue. So we have four deacons that represent this body to help our preacher. Those men are Lance Bruton, Tim Dunlap, Gary Ellison, and Jerry Mikitish. Those are the four men. We elect deacons once a year during the business meeting, which is usually the last Wednesday night in January, and that's how our pastor chooses to do it, and that is biblical. That's what a deacon is. No more, no less. And let me just tell you, I have been one in the past, and it is a blessing to serve our pastor in any way that he calls upon. Now, Baptist distinctives is very clear that there are only two offices, the pastor and the deacon. And it's very important for a church to have those two roles in their right place in order to carry out the Great Commission. I'm telling you, anything else, just again, it just messes things up. Preacher said it before, anything with two heads is a monster. That is very, very true. You've got to keep that in mind. And the Word of God doesn't lead anyone down that road to have multiple leaders. And let me just tell you this while we're talking about it, because I didn't mention it. There are churches you know that say, this is the so-and-so pastor. And this is the so-and-so. I'm the right-handed people pastor. Well, I'm the left-handed people pastor. And I'm the music pastor. And I'm this kind of pastor. And they're all equal. Is what they say. We're all equal. Where's that in the Word of God? Did we read that? Listen, if that was in the Word of God, I would have shared it with you with passion. That is not in the Word of God. There is a pastor, and then there's assistant to the pastor, and then there's interns. That's how our church chooses to operate the administration of a church. And we could talk about that some other time. But there's pastors and deacons. That's what the Word of God says. Leadership is key, and scriptural leadership is through the pastor. I mean, if you appreciate leadership, you understand you have to appreciate scriptural leadership, and deacons assist the pastor in serving our church. Let's get ready for Big People Church.